O Lord, you have shown yourself as glorious in wisdom, but all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned each to his own way. And because we have not followed your wisdom, we've made life harder for ourselves and people around us. I pray this morning that we could see the glory of the wisdom of Jesus Christ in such a way that we would trust him more than we've ever trusted him. In Jesus' name, amen. I have been speaking to you about the glory of Jesus Christ. And I believe it's honest and fair to ask the question, if Christ is so glorious, why is the world so messed up? If Christ is so awesome, why is the world ugly just about everywhere I look? I think it's fair for me to go one step closer and say, I'm a Christian. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I believe in the glory of God. But my life doesn't work sometimes. Church? This week, the last couple of weeks, I've been working on a problem, and I had to admit myself this week, dude, you're messed up. The harder you work on this problem, the worse it gets. Have you ever felt like that? The harder you work on a problem, the worse it gets. And so when I'm honest with myself like this, I have to say, I believe in the glory of the Lord. I believe it has a profound effect on people. But I believe the world's messed up, and I believe I'm messed up. And there's a disconnect somewhere. So what is the disconnect? Is it possible that the disconnect is there is a great glory in the wisdom of God, but it is a wisdom that commonly we don't apply in our own lives? See, every one of us knows things that are true that we don't apply to our lives. You can tell me all day long that pie's not good for you. I'm going to eat it anyway. It's not a question of wisdom. It's a question of quality of life. In things like pie, it's really not a big deal. But in other areas of our life, we do the same thing. We think, I can figure this out myself. Or we think, I've got this figured out myself. And we apply thinking that doesn't work to very real life problems. And when things don't turn out the way we wish they would, we get even more confused. On the other hand, if I would pause and I would say to myself, there is a wisdom greater than what I can figure out myself. There is a wisdom more glorious than what I can discover through the very best teachers. And that wisdom is the wisdom of the glory of Christ. And if I would trust the wisdom of the glory of Christ rather than my own conjecturing about life, I believe I would solve more problems in my life. I believe humanity would solve more problems. The answer to the dilemma, why is the world so messed up when the wisdom of the glory of God is so great, is we crucified the Lord of glory. And we're going to talk about that. 1 Corinthians 2:6. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which was decreed or predestined before the ages for our glory. The wisdom of the glory of God requires spiritual maturity. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. I can illustrate this. Things make perfect sense to me right now that when I was 18 years old, they made no sense to me. Anyone? You could have told me that when I was 18, and I'd have said, yeah, right. But now when I think about it, I go, yeah, dude, you were a dummy. I wish you'd have listened. Maturity, listen, maturity makes things make sense that otherwise wouldn't make sense. The same thing is true spiritually. I can give you an example. In mature thinking, we put too much emphasis on ourselves and not enough emphasis on other people. That's immature. And the more immature you are, the more you do it. Babies, they don't care that mom is tired. They don't care that dad worked all day. They don't care that their mom and dad are just laying there in the bed saying, please, God, could the baby fall back asleep? They don't care about any of that. I tell you what they want. They want their diaper changed. They want a bottle. They want the weird things that no parent can figure out. And they don't care about anybody else in the world. Right? Well, then... if everything goes well, we raise them up and they become preschoolers, and then they're only semi-tyrants. They lose a little bit of their tyranny. And then junior high, where everybody goes temporarily insane, it's the only way you can survive junior high. Okay, but as we grow older, it becomes more and more wise not to be totally self-focused and selfish, right? It starts to make sense. It makes perfect sense to me to be thoughtful and kind and generous to my wife. There was a time when I dated girls, it made no sense to do any of that. But I grew up. Right, the same thing is true in spiritual things. When we grow up, these ideas of God make more sense to us. All right, we have a brilliant God who says a very simple sentence: love one another. That doesn't take genius level understanding. Okay, but we have a different immature sense of self, and to our immature sense of self, loving other people doesn't always make sense. There is a wisdom that says love your enemies, But very few people are mature enough to really take that wisdom to heart. And so what happens is the world doesn't get better because we never mature to the point where the wisdom that God is sharing with us makes sense. Church? If I passed out a slip of paper and said, what are you willing to do? Send weapons to your friends or send bottled water to your enemies? Very few people would say, send bottled water to your enemies. It doesn't make sense to us. We are immature, and Christ saying, love your enemies, that doesn't sound wise to us. We say, oh, they'll take advantage of us. They won't appreciate it. We do all this self-reasoning, and we lay aside an idea that might make all the difference in the world. Are you thinking with me? So this is what Paul says. Here's the problem. It's not that God isn't smart, and it's not that he's not glorious. It's that we're too immature to see the wisdom of what he's trying to teach us. And then, without applying this higher wisdom and relying on our own misunderstanding, life goes bad. The wisdom of the glory of God doesn't conform to the intellectual trends of any generation. Listen to what Paul says. Although it is not a wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age. Let's do some specifics. There is a political thinking in the world that I think is misunderstanding. It is the idea that the power of my office makes me better than you. I must be better than you. I'm the president of the United States. I must be better than you. I'm the governor. All right. In fact, here's what wisdom is. If you're the president and the governor, you have to serve all of us. That's what you were elected to do. That's wisdom. Political people seeing themselves as servants of the society, that's wise. Political people seeing themselves as, I got elected, I'm better than you, so shut up and do what I say, that will never work. Do you see? Let's talk about cultural misunderstanding. There is a cultural misunderstanding that says, if you're popular, you must be wonderful. How many followers do you have? You could have a lot of followers because you're just so whacked, nobody knows what to expect next. It doesn't make you wonderful. Church, it is a misunderstanding about life if you're living by the principle, I must be wonderful. Look how many followers are on my Twitter. The name Twitter's annoying. No, anyone? Just one person, thank you. The very name makes me go. Okay, please, you don't have to agree with me. This is what I'm thinking. There is an academic misunderstanding in the world. And because there is an academic misunderstanding in the world, what happens is we end up having all the ugliness you see in the news. Now, please listen to this. You don't have to agree with me. I'm just saying this. We named universities for a reason. It's supposed to be a universe of ideas. Church, it's supposed to be academic freedom. You go to the university, and there is a university of ideas. All right. In my life, the university has become way too political. If you're at this university, you have to have these political ideas. If you're at this university, you have to have these political ideas. Okay. It's not wise. What's wise is that you go to it, sit down in a class, and there are people who think differently than you do. They have a different perspective about life. You have conversations. Shocking. People learn by talking to each other. If they aren't all rubber stamping the same church. A child is not to be treated poorly because they're black. But a child is not to be treated poorly because they're white. We have to have a wisdom that is greater than what our culture is producing. A wisdom that a follower of Jesus Christ shared with us. A wisdom that says, we can't judge each other by the color of our skin. We have to judge each other by the content of our character. That is wisdom. That is wisdom. Do you hear me? So here's my point I'm trying to make. And if I don't use edgy examples, you guys fall asleep on me. All right. We have to be careful, Paul says, that the trendsetters don't mislead us. I want to check the trendsetters by a wisdom that is higher than humanity. It is a glorious wisdom of God. The problem with this is, if we are following an idea about reality that doesn't work, it causes things to collapse. Do you get it? You can't build anything solid on an illusion. It always collapses. If you are a student of history, here's what you'll find. Cultures build up a system, and too much of it isn't true, and over time, the illusion collapses and the culture collapses with it. In my lifetime, collapse of different cultures in unexpected ways is just a replica of all of history. Do you see? All right, I got to be visceral or you won't go with me. All right. In America, we knew slavery was wrong. We knew it was wrong. Don't tell me that the founding fathers didn't know slavery was wrong. Thomas Jefferson wrote that all men are endowed by their creator with certain rights. We knew it was wrong. But we built a culture on it anyway. Didn't we? All right, because that culture was built on a lie, what happened? It collapsed. That culture collapsed because it was built on something that isn't true. You can't thrive and hold people in slavery. It's anti-reality. All right. So then Paul says, this wisdom has a mystery about it. So mystery is the idea of knowledge reserved for the initiated. It's not Agatha Christie stories. It's the mystery religions where we don't tell you the secret handshake until you join the club. All right. So mystery is knowledge reserved for the initiative, for the initiated. So in this context, it says there is a wisdom that is reserved for the initiated. And what is that? What is initiation? Faith in Christ makes me able to understand things that Christ said that I couldn't otherwise understand. Let's try one. Jesus said to us, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You've all heard that. Church, everybody heard that? All right. Very common. Some of you don't know Jesus said that. You just know it's out there somewhere. Yeah, Jesus said that. All right. Now, there are times in my life where I have to trust that and do it. But if I have to trust that and do it, I have to give up on things that I think are right myself. Right? You see, it's easy for me to do unto others in my family. Yeah, I'll help you. What do you need? Right? It's easy for me to do unto others for my friends. But what about the person who's really, really annoying? You hear the wisdom, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. What if you were really the annoying person? What do you think that person gets out of bed every day and says, I'm just going to annoy everybody I run into today. I'm going to make everybody sorry they know me. They don't get out of bed and say, I'm going to annoy America today. You only have to run into them once in a while. They got to live with themselves every day. So now I find myself in one of those situations where Jesus says to me, here, this is smart, dude. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And that means this annoying person. And then my own wisdom starts kicking in. Well, why should I have to do it? Let somebody else. If I know this annoying person, if I help them now, it's like feeding a stray cat. They'll be here every day. You think the same thoughts I think. Come on. I'm not the last sinner in this room. I have a way of thinking that competes with the wisdom of God. The world gets better every time I trust the wisdom of God over my own wisdom. He says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And that includes that annoying person in your life. But I have a self-reasoning that says, there's got to be an out clause here somewhere. And what happens is, I don't do unto others as I would have them do unto me. Problems don't get solved. People don't get better. Lives go on being empty and broken. And then we look up to God and say, hey, you're not doing your job, dude. Right? And God says, no, I'm doing my job. You're just not following my wisdom. My wisdom doesn't feel glorious to you. What I'm asking you to do feels imposing. How I'm asking you to act feels like a duty. And you can't sense there is incredible glory and dignity in being the kind of person who follows a higher wisdom that says, I do unto others as I would have them do unto me. And I don't reason my way out of it every time I can. Church, I'm telling you, that is an awesome life. Those people make the world better. Those people make a big difference. Those people are the breath of God in the world. because they're living by a wisdom that gives them dignity. It gives them nobility. It gives them a sense of, I genuinely live well. Paul says, if I'm willing to live by this wisdom, I'm predestined to something glorious. You see, if I live by a glorious idea, it makes my life more glorious. We're not comfortable with the word glory. If I live by a more dignified idea, it makes my life more dignified. That's the way reality works. If I'm living by ugly ideas, they make my life ugly. If I'm living by the power of intimidation, it makes my life ugly. On the other hand, if I'm living by a noble idea, if I'm living by genuine wisdom, that brings a dignity to life that is just awesome. Church. I am destined to live with dignity as I follow the dignified ideas of Jesus Christ. I am destined to keep messing up, breaking my own heart, and hurting the people around me when I live by a more selfish idea. And then Paul says in verse 8, none of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. I want to get back to the idea I shared with you. There's something broken in humanity that we mess up beautiful things. Humanity has an incredible capacity to mess up beautiful things. I'm not so old that I can't remember when my children were born. I can remember holding tiny little babies. They're so tiny. Do you remember that? Does anybody remember how little they are? They're so tiny. Sometimes when I see a newborn, I'm just again shocked all over how tiny they are. But when you hold this little beautiful, they're just all potential. They're just all potential. We love those babies. We nurture what is good in them. We teach them the right stuff. They just grow up to be beautiful people. On the other hand, we can wreck a child. We can have a beautiful little life, and we can wreck them. Raise them where all there is ugliness. Teach them to be cynical. Break their hearts. And we take this beautiful, beautiful thing, and we ruin it. And it turns out humanity has a great gift for wrecking the beautiful. Church? See, I don't think it's an either-or world. We can have a beautiful world and still do awesome stuff, but we have to do it differently. All right, now listen to this. It made sense to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and Roman pagans to crucify the Lord of glory. If I'm going to crucify someone, it's not going to be the one who is the Lord of glory. If I'm going to crucify one, I want to crucify the Lord of violence. I want to crucify the Lord of hatred. I want to crucify the Lord of deceit. If I'm going to crucify the ruler of something, I don't want to crucify the one who rules what is most glorious about life. But somehow or another, it made sense to humanity to crucify the one who is the sovereign leader of all that is truly glorious. And tragically, that seems to be not uncommon in humanity. Church, I want us to say cultural trends don't determine what is wise. Cultural trends don't determine what works. There is one who is truly, absolutely sovereign over all that is good and beautiful and dignified and glorified and precious. There is one who is sovereign over all of that. And he has some great ideas. It's called the wisdom of God. And I believe if we would crucify the Lord of hate, selfishness, deceit, all these other broken things, and we would follow the sovereign lead of the Lord of glory, we would act more wisely, our lives, our personal inner life would be richer, our homes would be more beautiful and more loving, and the world would work better than it does today. What good happens when we reject the best option? What good happens when we reject the best option? And what I'm arguing is there is a wisdom that is greater than what we learn in our culture. That is the best option. If we reject the best option and we take a lesser option, we always get the lesser results. This wisdom, Paul says, is beyond us. No eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. This is Paul messing up a quote from Isaiah 64. This is what he was quoting. From of old, no one has heard, nor perceived by the ear. No eye has seen a God beside you who acts for those who wait for him. This is what Isaiah said. Isaiah understood this 700 years before Christ. Isaiah said, there are good ideas beyond what we imagine. And if we'll wait, there is a God who will share these ideas and teach them to us. Paul picks up that same idea and he says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nobody's ever imagined how good it is where the prevailing wisdom of Jesus Christ sets the agenda. So, the wisdom of the glory of God is beyond comparison. You'll never see anything you can compare to the wisdom of God. I wonder in your life, what are you comparing to the wisdom of God that you shouldn't be? Look, Oprah's a smart woman, but she's not as smart as God. Just throwing it out there. Some of the other advice shows, I think, do more damage than good. I won't name names. You'll send me nasty emails. Look, there are advice shows that do more harm than good. What wisdom are you comparing to the wisdom of God? Then he says, what are you listening to? I mean, this is the listening generation. You can listen to the news. You can listen to blogs. You can listen to Facebook. There are millions of things to listen to. But we mustn't ever compare the wisdom of Mary Jane influencer, because she can get 9 million people to watch her do a backflip off her house into the pool. I mean, the wisdom of the glory of God is beyond imagination. Parents, could I throw out a grandfather advice? Don't kill your kids' imagination. Do not kill your children's imagination. Nurture it. Nurture it. If your child is daydreaming, reward them. Imagination is an incredible gift. The world gets better because children imagine and they dream dreams, and it sets an agenda in their life to do unusual things. Never hurt your children's imagination. All right. So God says, use your best imagination. Just imagine things as, if you could imagine things absolutely perfect, if you could wave a magic wand and things would be absolutely perfect, can you imagine what that would look like? Then he says, if we would follow the wisdom of God, it would be better than that. The wisdom of God will clearly be seen in eternity in the place that God has prepared for people who love him. Then let's do just verse 10. These things God has revealed to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the deep things of God. This wisdom of God that is beyond me, how do I have access to it? Well, we believe in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is a teaching part of God. And I believe this is how it works. When I think in the right way, the Holy Spirit influences my thinking, and I think better than I would have done without him. We've been following John Owen. For you, for those who like the little bit higher theology, listen to what he says. He who is a partaker of this grace will think much of what Christ is in himself, of what he has done for us, of his love and condescension, of the manifestation of all the glorious excellencies of the divine nature. Listen to what Owen is saying. Owen says, you gotta think about it. Christianity isn't magic. It's not do this magic ritual and everything will be good. Christianity is a thinking religion. So he says, the more I think about these wise ideas that Christ taught us, the more influence they have with me and the more sense they make. Now, some of you know this is true. Can you remember going into a math class that was way too hard for you? That's just about every math class I ever took. Okay, but they passed out the books. Back in the 70s, the books looked like everyone had been chewed by a dog. You people get me distracted, I'm sorry. I would open up these math books and I'd go, this is ridiculous. Anyone? This is ridiculous. Math teachers, I do want to say this. There's something wrong in the culture if it's all right if you can't do math, but it's not all right if you can't read. Our kids got to learn to do math. We just had to figure out how to teach it in a way that slow learners like me can get it. All right. But the teacher said, do your homework. Okay, do these problems at the end of the chapter. The problems were to make you think about it. You couldn't learn the math unless you were thinking about it. So the problems at the end of the chapter were just a way to help you think about the idea long enough for it to click in your Einstein brain. You can't learn math if you don't think about it. I couldn't learn Latin without doing Latin homework. You got to think about it. Okay, the same thing is true with these great ideas. If I will follow Jesus Christ and I will think about these noble ideas, I will think about this genuine wisdom that works in every generation. I will trust his wisdom above my present opinions and feelings. If I will do that, I'm going to be living by a higher wisdom. I'm going to be making better decisions. I'm going to be treating people around me better. My soul is going to be better. My family is going to be better. The place I work is going to be better. And something of the glory of Christ is going to be true in the world. Church, I just want to ask you one more question. How is the glorious wisdom of Christ the answer to the trouble that you face today? How is it the answer? This thing I've been working on, I've got it down to this. There is a wisdom that if I could find it, would make this problem look altogether different. Church, problem's not going to go away. You can't wish it away. It's not going away. But there is a wisdom that will make the problem look different. And if I can find that wisdom, I will approach the problem altogether different than I'm approaching it right now. Listen. And when I approach the problem different, I have a real chance of moving beyond it. If I keep dealing with the problem in the same old stupid way, it's going to get worse because then it becomes a habit. All right, let's put this all together. The world is broken because it needs a better idea. Where does a better idea come from? There is a wisdom that God teaches us through Jesus Christ. It's noble. It's good. It's healthy. It's loving. It's kind. It's gentle. It's counterintuitive. It's often not the thing I want to do, but it's almost always the right thing to do in the moment. And if I will live by a wisdom that is greater than what I have been figured out for myself and my culture has taught me, I'm going to live a more glorious life. And so are you. Our dear Heavenly Father, I pray that your good ideas would seem more glorious to us. I pray like your good ideas, like love one another, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, respect other people, outdo one another in showing respect. I pray that these ideas would have influence with us, that we could see that in this idea is the seed of a really dignified life. No matter what the culture says, or no matter what my own selfishness is, please help me to see it. I pray for everyone who's in this room. I pray for those who are watching online. I pray that we could see a new glory in your wisdom, and a glory that we put into practice that helps us solve problems and live a better, more noble, more beautiful, more healthy life. And may Christ be glorified for it. Amen.